Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
Former Husker national champion, Matt Verso.
If we have to throw hands, I am totally down.
Now, this will be hard for some people to swallow. You know you're looking at a
window. Former Husker national champion, Matt Verso.
It's that guy that's staring back at me, looking through my soul, saying, I'm your dude.
Matt Verzal, former Husker National Champion.
I know this is your bang zone. I know this is where you get down.
And they are deep and thick.
Please, God, give me one of those fat guys.
Big Papa Verz, let's bring him in.
Probably the most fun you'll have with your clothes on.
We're going to get in the lab and bust one out.
You try to get too cute with your packages. It still feels hard when you touch it.
Now you got a bunch of fat midgets that want to hurt people.
Matt Verzal.
There's no better feeling in the world when you are face-to-face with another grown man, and you can drive him, and you end up laying on top of him.
Hey, man, I'm a weirdo. I know it. I admit it. That's how I have to get down.
Back on the up and up. So hang on, but guess
what? I feel like I can. We're gonna man this up. Let's bring him in. Verz, how are you on this beautiful Monday?
I'm good, baby. How you doing?
I'm good. We've hit on all the big stuff today, like Secret Life of Pets 2. Maeve and I went to it. It was incredible. We've talked about that. George's. Yeah, it was amazing. At this point, I'll just hand them the Oscar for Best Picture. But George's.
George reached down for a while there. Did you know that?
Yeah. And George's. What do you think about his decision? He's doing his big final meal after his Ferrell's 10-week challenge. He's going to go to Texas Roadhouse and get some ribs. What do you think about that decision? Pretty good decision.
Well, I mean, all due respect to the corporate monster that is Texas Roadhouse, but come on, George. I got a pizza with your name on it, buddy. Some wings. Ooh. Probably throw a little pastrami sandwich in there. I mean, what else do you want?
All right, Verz. All right.
Yeah.
I'm easily convinced. All right, Verz.
I was going to say, geez, you weren't too committed to Texas Roadhouse, were you?
Nope.
And certainly being on a diet, I can get down with George and Rip. Either way, you're going to go well. But yeah, I did that.
Verz, can you teach me how to eat wings with not becoming a total mess and stockpiling 68,000 paper towels on the table? I need you to coach me. Can you be my wing coach?
Are we doing? Okay, I'm interested. No offense, Mo. So no offense to you, Nick, but I don't think you properly use the size of your mouth. Like, you have a big mouth.
Okay.
So I think you just ratchet that baby open a little bit. Now, are we eating the drummies or the flat?
Drummies, right? That's kind of what – I mean, a combination of the two, right? Can you do a little combination of the two?
The flats are easy because there's a little twist method where you break the cartilage and you pull the one bone out, and they're just, whoop, gone. That's in the old gullet, and down she goes. Yeah, I can help you.
Did you learn that on National Geographic, or when did you learn that?
I learned that maybe on the interweb. That's an internet creation. But as I watched that video, I was like, this is the smartest person in the world. Like, this person should be having a Nobel Peace Prize. Like, they're brilliant.
So, but I think I know. So do you take two hands and break the one and then go at it? Or can you do this all, like, with one hand while having a conversation?
Yeah. You can. We've just come up with some dry rubs at Paizan, so I can probably eliminate some of your napkin problem. But if you want the sugary sauces, I feel you would, like, eat one and then wipe your hands off.
I don't know what my problem is. You need to watch me and give me a good scatter report.
Six or eight down, then like, all right, I probably should wash my hands.
I don't know what it is. I just become disgusting. I can't. What's your wing career high in one sitting? 40?
Oof. A little bit more. I think I got 50 down.
Have you gotten 50 down? How are you feeling after 50 wings? Like, you need a nap?
Well, I mean, at 3:30, you feel like you need a nap all the time. So, it's just like, what did I feel like? I felt like Tuesday. I felt like, what time is dinner?
Okay. Yeah, you're ready for the next meal. Are you like me? Yeah. Kim doesn't understand that. Kim, I'm all the second I finish my meal, I'm thinking about, okay, what am I eating next, and when am I eating next? Are you like me?
Yeah, I'm pretty close to that. And you must have a good metabolism, because. As I said, you know, dropping some LBs because I was probably a little toward the morbidly obese category. But there's these little, like, every 3 hours I eat something and it's not very big.
Yeah.
So you eat it and you're just like, huh, How long is 3 hours?
Yeah.
Well, 73-hour countdown.
What do you? One of my buddies is doing this like intermittent fasting thing. What are our thoughts? That seems like that seems crazy. Like you don't eat for 18 hours and you eat like all your meals in a 6 hour span. I mean, that seems kind of crazy to me.
I did that once, and my body was like, yeah, nice try. It's like, so let me get this straight. You stall us out now in 6 hours we get to consume everything we want. I'm like, well, you know, kind of. And then I just would house like a whole pizza.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, this is totally intermittent fasting. This is what it is.
This is how it's supposed
it's
to
for
be.
For people, you know, if you like bigger meals.
Yeah.
But there is some science behind it. I don't want to get real sciencey, but yeah. Yeah. I've done it. It does not work for Versal. It may work for you though.
Yeah, I'm uninterested in it at this point. By the way, we also talked about did you see Justin Bieber challenge Tom Cruise to a fight? Who would you take in an MMA fight between Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber?
Cruise.
Me too. Yeah, just because of the grown man thing, or what do you think? Tom Cruise seems angry to me, and I think anger is a big part of winning a fight.
Is there anything that scares you about Justin Bieber? Like, what is he going to do? Sing you to death? Like, are you going to whack sweet melodies at me? Was I punch you in the face?
Yeah.
I mean, Cruise has some like Mission Impossible training. I think he still does a lot of his own stunts, so that guy's ready to tumble.
Yeah.
TC all day in that one. I'd even pay minus money on that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, and I mean, and Tom Cruise has a temper. Like, Bieber doesn't seem like he has a temper. Like, Tom Cruise is just, there's something about going through life and letting life kind of beat you down a little bit, and you become ready to fight Justin Bieber, I guess, is what life will really
be. Man, Bieber just lost it. Like, that guy's whacking.
I don't get that. I don't get really what's happened with that at all, but, you know, nevertheless. Yeah,
I guess that's what's happening when you make too much money.
You just start challenging other people.
You know those Scientology weirdos, they're fighting all the time with each other. They probably got like a fight club in that place.
Yeah, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes of all that stuff, you know, at all.
Sorry to bring religion into the sports show, my bad.
Okay, we'll try to hashtag stick to sports here. Hey, are you excited about this pipeline camp? This is going to be the first year they do that. I think that's coming up here in the next week. I think it's a great idea, right?
It is. It should invigorate a lot of the local kids to at least go down and have a chance and get exposure. Might not be the right word, but we had some boys that went down that camp in Linwood, and they got a couple scholarship offers. That was cool. So it's mainly just getting you as a product out in front of somebody. And some guys, it might be a pipe dream. Other guys, it might be a legitimate shot. You know, they may see it and say, whoa, we didn't think you had that in you. So the chance to be live, because some guys don't pass off the film very well. Mm-hmm. You can have a really good player that doesn't have really good film. So I think it's awesome. As a guy that was a spectating member of the pipeline, you know, it's just cool. Anytime you can get that out. Probably need to start to deliver on some of those, and hopefully they can find some diamonds in the rough there and build them up and get the pipeline back to where it is revered. It's kind of a joke now for some people, but I'm a fan of it. I think it's good. All around. I think it's good exposure for Nebraska. I think it's good exposure for the kids in the state. I think it's good exposure just for on a national level. Like, hey, they're doing some different things there. So focus on something of your past, which is what we have. Not all schools can say that, and then try to build on that from there.
Yeah, I think the other thing, you know, we talked last week about that quote from Frost about getting some of that nasty back to where, you know, when you guys stepped on the field, teams kind of felt it even the week after. And, you know, you talked about how that all starts in practice. What about also, can you have that nasty, like, I think a part of the reason you guys were so nasty in the 90s was your style of play, too. Like, you guys had bad intentions on offense and on defense. And can you still have that nasty with this kind of style that Frost runs, in your opinion?
You can because it's still defeating the man across from you, right? Now, a lot of that confidence that we had was due to the fact that when you feel so like I do it. I know when I prepare a whole bunch, I go fill in for you. I'm like, bring it. Let's talk about anything today. Or there's times when I'm like, oh, I got 35 minutes notice. I'm just going to wing it. Mm-hmm. I can tell the difference in the show.
Sure.
When you're supremely prepared to do something, you can be as mean and nasty as you want. So those two go hand in hand, right? Every look we saw in a game, we had seen at least 10 times in practice. So it's like, oh my God, these guys can't do a thing that we don't know about. you poor fools over there going to try to do something slick, and we already know it. So when you get that confidence of, I think it'll still take about a year or two to do that, but it'll start to see more of it this year. So, yes, I think you can, because then I defer to, like, an Ohio State, you know, or Oklahoma, or not, well, Oklahoma does it, and Oklahoma's put four offensive linemen in the league a year. So, I mean, I think you can accomplish it. It's just once that confidence level in your scheme and what you're doing kind of all wrap up, that's when it all will start to happen.
You know, it's kind of weird.
I think Rude's quote is better, though. Rude's quote,
what he said,
the one, sorry to cut you off, that he said, hey, we need to not have to travel 600 miles to find recruits. We need to find them closer.
Right.
That, to me, I was like, that's awesome. Call to arms from all the coaches. Let's get our ass together and let's get going.
Right.
So if that means extra work for offensive line, let's do it. If it means more speed work for, you know, receivers, or more route running stuff, or quarterbacks, you know, have to be quicker and fast and throw it on time, amen. Let's go. So I thought that was a good quote. I liked that one a lot from the old.
Shouts out to Southeast. Nice. I think, and we've talked about that. I really think some of that talk isn't just chatter with Frost and with Barrett and those guys, and like they truthfully want to reinvigorate the area. In terms of not just walk-ons, but scholarship guys. Like, I think they truthfully would love nothing more than to have a resurgence of dudes that are able to be born and raised in the area and come to Nebraska and kill it.
It is, yeah. And that's, it's a hard thing sometimes for coaches to say, because the relationship with the Nebraska coaching staff in the past and the high school coaches in the state has been kind of off. So for him to say it, I love the statement. It's bold. He's a Nebraska kid. He knows the talent is there. It's just that talent now has to cultivate, right? Yeah. So everybody needs to step up their game. Me, you know, me included. I mean, I'll be honest, I heard it. I got excited. I was like, sweet. Sure. Went and did a bunch of research on the internet. How can I get things changed around? How can I, you know, do some stuff different and get these guys to where I can't stretch them out on a rack and make them taller, but if I get them into great stances and they can move fluidly, maybe somebody else catches their eye and they get the chance to go somewhere else. So I thought that was a great piece. Good insight. So.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because I was talking about the whole nasty thing earlier, and I had a caller call up and say, you know, well, which coaches on the staff are really the guys that are going to cultivate that nasty? And, you know, he talked about how in the 90s you had guys that weren't necessarily going to be yellers and screamers on the staff. But, like, I also think that's a misnomer. You don't – like, Tom Osborne was not a yeller and screamer, but he had a very violent, crazy football team, you know. And so, I don't think those two things necessarily have to be you have to have a staff full of screamers to have a nasty team, right?
I've become, this is just me personally on a smaller level, I've become a better coach when I focus less on how I perceive we were getting screwed than making our players better, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd go into games, you know, there would be times I'm like, oh man, we're going to get jammed here. I already know what's going to happen. And I'd be all pissed off and I'd start screaming and yelling and acting a fool. But now when I get to it, one of my most refreshing games is about game four, where I'm like, all right, we've seen everything we're going to see. I've taught you everything I know. Go ahead and have at it, boys. Go have some fun. Play hard. If you're not playing hard, it's the only time I kind of, when I come off film, like, that's all we got. Like, I know we got more. I've seen you go harder in practice. So the year of the, or the era of the yeller screamer probably is fading even faster. Now, don't get me wrong. I get my fair share in practice, but I've also realized practice is the only time I can factor into the behavior. I'm not going to change it during the game. I can make adjustments, or the boys can make adjustments, but so I get after them hard Monday through Thursday, and then Friday we go do what we do. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it resonates as much now. Coach Osborne factored in that disappointment. Like, I've found more success with, hey, I'm just really disappointed in your effort there. And that's just kind of a punch in the gut. I'm like, oh, don't say that one. Yell at me. Please yell at me. But it's that other side of the equation.
Isn't it amazing how, because I had Coach Altman called me last week just to kind of check in, and it's amazing I'm 11 years removed, and isn't it amazing the power that a coach still had? Like, that guy, no matter how old I get, like, that guy would tell me to do something and I will just do it. Like, you know, like, just the control that they still kind of seemingly have over you kind of never goes away.
100%, because they respected you at a time when probably everybody outside your parents didn't. and you then in turn provided that respect back, right? You didn't want to let them down. You wanted to give everything you had to have, you know, and it's the great thing about sports is I'm going to give everything I have so you succeed, which is odd for people. It's like, why am I going to bust my ass that I don't get all the credit? That's why I love team games. Like when you know, in a basketball sense, when the ball is shared and it zips around the court and we're shooting wide open threes or wide open layups. Like, I love that. That's why football consumes me, because I'm like, all right, this is great because I got all these guys playing together and we're going to win together. And there's nothing that still this day makes me prouder when a skill position person just defers. Like, hey, without the line or without the quarterback or without the other receivers running their routes, I never would have been where I was. That always to me is cool. And when you get people that provide those quotes of the selfless nature, yep. Even baseball, you know, baseball defers. Like, hey, catcher, like, hey, you hit a bomb. Well, you know what? Pitcher was throwing great. He got me an opportunity to win the game. I just took advantage of the opportunity. That's why sports are awesome. And it's hard to capture, because then you get out in the real world. We're all trying to fend for ourselves and not want to be a part of a team because we think we're going to get slighted in some manner.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny. To this day, you know, there isn't really anyone outside of probably my parents that I want to get a good job from. You know, yeah, make happy and please. Yeah. And then, you know, that's how I haven't talked to Coach in a while, and just, you know, it's funny when you talk to him, you just instantly go into, you know, for him to say, hey, saw you, bud, on TV, you did a good job, you know, and it's like, oh, God, that's good. You know, like, it's just, it's crazy how that never goes away.
And you get giddy when you see the phone ring and it's your caller tag. Oh, I know who that is.
I know. I was like, oh, my God, like, this ought to be good.
Kobe put went outside to go to the bathroom, kind of nudges his knee like, hey, bud, did you see that? Did good, didn't I?
There's no question about that. Hey, real quick, before I let you run, this, you know, I got to assume, I don't know. I thought there was no way Kevin Durant was going to play, but now I kind of feel like he is going to play tonight based on the fact that they listed him as questionable and all that. But to me, it's like if he plays in game five, a part of me goes, well, how are you not able to play in game four? Did you ever feel like you had a teammate ever that could play that didn't or anything like that? Because that's kind of a weird deal. I certainly had guys that, you know, the dudes that would, you know, wuss out of practice. You'd be like, really, bro, you're not practicing today. Yeah. You know, that stuff, teammates are taking inventory of that stuff more than people realize.
Probably more in high school than college. I mean, like, the two guys that kind of got hurt when I was in college was kind of a serious deal. Like, one had a punctured lung, the other one got in that blood clot and might have killed him. So I didn't really doubt them too much. I'm like, oh my God, that sounds terrible on both ends. Right. I don't want any part of that. Nobody pops into my mind right away, but in the cultures I was, be that Grand Island or Nebraska, if anybody thought it, that person would have been removed. Like, it, just don't care who it was. So if they were taken off, it just would have been what it was. Like, that. I didn't ever have a sense of anybody doing that. Yeah, it would have been a bad deal for them if they did.
Sure. This whole thing is just bizarre to me. I just don't, with a strained cat, like, if he plays tonight, I struggle to see how he couldn't have found a way to play. Remember Isaiah Thomas in the finals when he hurt his ankle and couldn't even, like, I mean, that guy was literally limping up and down. Like, if there's ever a time to tough it out, it's the finals, man. This is it.
Yeah, but that, where they're putting the ice on the leg and, you know, it's just, and that's looking probably way too far into it, but it's that era of those guys is gone. Like, KD's looking at inking a deal, you know, in New York. So, you know, he's won. How many has he won at Golden State? One?
Two. Two titles?
Two. I'm sure he cares.
Yeah.
I'm sure it matters, but you put like hundreds of millions of dollars in front of me. I'm like, hey, Doc, is this thing 101% good? Because I really like this call. Again, if I look at the game, I don't know if it matters because there's no fear factor from Toronto in it.
Yeah.
And I know they're a better team. I get it. Kitty's an amazing talent, but is that guy going to come in injured and alter the outcome? Because, I mean, whatever Kawhi and crew are doing, bud, they're just like, here we are. Kill and him, we're going to beat you. And away we go.
totally dominating. Verz, the man, the myth, the legend. I'll come to Verz wing camp at some point, and you're going to have to teach me the ways of the Verz wing eating.
Okay? We'll start you on the dry rubs. We'll start you.
Okay. And then work into the sauce, and before you know it, I'll be a veteran. I love it. Hey, Verz, you're the man. Thank you.
We can bake a few of them for you, too. We started baking them so they're not as messy.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. I love it. Thanks, Verz. Got it.
Be good.
Verz, dropping knowledge. Good stuff with him. All right. Make sure you go check out the website, the app, Brett Phillips. Current member of the Omaha Storm Chasers. Really good conversation with him. Mike Shea, first stop by. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk to Robin Washit. Is tomorrow Thor? I believe it's Thor. Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a Thor day.
It's a Thor Tuesday. We'll talk to Thor Tripp. It's all coming up tomorrow. Of course, we'll recap, look back at NBA Finals Game 5. Is it over? Is it going to a Game 6? It's all coming up tomorrow on the show. But coming up next, crossover time with John and Josh. We come back.